You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What's up? This is Connor Livesy with the Talking the Star podcast, and tonight we're on with another NFL draft prospect interview. Tonight I'm on with Penny Hart, Georgia State wide receiver. What's going on tonight, man?
Not much. How you doing?
Good. I'm glad to have you on the podcast. For one, I'm glad to have the biggest combine snub in NFL history on the podcast, because it's just absolutely ridiculous you didn't get that invite, man. What's your thoughts on that?
I mean, you know, I'm pretty sure they, you know, had people that they wanted to see. I mean, I was a little bit disappointed about it, but at the end of the day, I got a chance to go to the Senior Bowl. Shout out to Jim Nagy and the Reese Senior Bowl for that. But I got a chance to go out there and just play football rather than, you know, showing just agility and speed and everything like that. But I got an opportunity to show what I can do against some of the best seniors in the country.
Do you get a response to something like that? Are you able to reach out and get a reason why? I mean, I know that might sound a little petty, but at the same time, if I was in your shoes, I'd want to know why.
I mean, I haven't really done that. I mean, I kind of just take, you know, things as they go and continue to move on and, you know, structure my life as far as that goes. I mean, like I said, it was a little bit of disappointment, but at the same time, you know, I'm going to be able to do a pro day, get out there, do what I do, and, you know, the scouts that want to see me will be there at my pro day. But, I mean, I put that behind me. It's not really something that's hindering me at this point. I just want to be able to do my pro day, do well, and, you know, move on from there. But shout out to everybody who did get invited and, you know, hope they all do well.
When is your pro day?
March 15th.
Okay, cool. March 15th. I'll make sure to jot that down so we can include that in all our write-ups and everything, because I know that's going to be a big day for you. But you mentioned a second ago that, you know, being able to go to the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama, and really just blow up the Senior Bowl is kind of what you did. People use the same verbiage for blowing up the combine, but you blew up the Senior Bowl. You went, really turned so many heads at the Senior Bowl. What was that whole experience like coming in as a smaller school guy and then really taking over that big stage and having really everyone talking about you after just a few of the first practices?
It was amazing, honestly, as far as, you know, how I prepare myself and what I've been doing, you know, the past few years, as far as my preparation mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. I expected, you know, myself to be able to go out there and, you know, make plays how I did and, you know, just be able to show what I can do. And at the end of the day, just have fun and do what I've been doing since I was 5 years old and, you know, just be able to go out there and play ball.
Did you feel bad for the DBs that had to cover you that week?
No, I wouldn't necessarily say that, but I mean, you know, we're competing, you know, at the end of the day, you know, so, but I mean, you know, there were some great guys out there, you know, on the defensive side, you know, they were competing, doing their thing all week. I was competing, doing my thing all week, you know, it was what it was, but at the end of the day, you know, there were some great competitors out there on the defensive side as well.
I think the biggest misconception with you is that people think you're just a slot receiver. They see your size and they go, oh, that guy's got to play in the slot. But I don't see it that way. I see as a guy that you're such a good route runner. You were so good with your contested catch ability. You play a lot bigger than your size listed says. What do you say to people who just say, oh, that's a slot guy? He can only play in the slot. What's your response to that?
I feel like, you know, they're limiting their sales as far as, you know, what they'll be able to be getting, because, you know, that's not just what I am. I actually haven't even played slot receiver in the past two seasons. Yep. You know, I've been a I've been a boundary receiver, and my coach has also said I was probably the shortest boundary receiver in the whole country as I was playing. But, you know, I mean, as far as any scout that might say that or any, you know, anyone, I mean, they would be missing out on so many more different things that come with my game, you know, being able to put me on the outside or anything like that. But, I mean, I feel like I've always prided myself on being good at everything and every aspect of my game, no matter what it is. So I can do both slot or outside, whatever anybody asks me to do, I can do it.
Yeah, and like I said, that's one of the more frustrating things for someone who does a lot of stuff in the media with you guys is just seeing, I guess, the laziness that comes behind some of the evaluators, because they look at the box score, they look at the size, and put you in a category that I don't think you necessarily belong in because of your, like you said, just your ability to stretch the field on the boundary. Like that limits a little bit when you get put in the slot because you're not running up the seams as much. Most of the work's done underneath in the intermediate portion of the field. But when you're put outside, you're able to showcase your speed, some of your nuances in your route running that can really get you good releases off the line of scrimmage and in and out of your breaks, that where you can, when you're lined up outside, you can do more damage, really. And I think you're a guy who can do both. You can play inside, you can play outside. Mm-hmm. You're a very competitive blocker, which is something else I wanted to ask you next, is how important is blocking to you? Because when I turn on your tape, I see a guy who just goes all out. He's so physical at the point of attack with blocking. How much do you value that?
I value it a lot. I mean, it goes again with, you know, me just having, you know, those two mountains on my shoulders, not just chips. I don't have chips on my shoulders. I got mountains. So, you know, going out there and, like I said, being good at everything that I do, you know, perimeter blocking, whatever it is, just being able to put out everything that I can for my teammates and, you know, all of my coaches as well. But just at the end of the day, being good at every aspect of the position that I'm in and what I need to do, you know, that I always take pride in that, and I value that. But for any receiver, you got to be able to block. You know, you can open up a lot of different things in the whole offense just from blocking. So I definitely take pride in that.
Of course, man, of course. And we talked about your position in the, you know, playing on the boundary, playing in the slot. We're going to take it back a little bit, because in high school you played a lot of quarterback, you played some running back, and you obviously played some wide receiver as well. What position was the most fun to play in high school for you?
Honestly, it was a quarterback, and I also played middle linebacker for like a game or two. Yeah, I played every position on the field besides putting my hand in the dirt. So I punted a little bit, you know, kicked, all that stuff, you know. I've always, you know, my coach has always told me to be prepared to have to do, you know, playing or kicking every now and then. But, yeah, I've done just about everything. But quarterback is for sure the most fun.
So I need to go into your scouting report and edit wide receiver and then put quarterback, running back, linebacker, receiver, punter. Just put it all in there.
Everything. Yep, put it all on there.
Have you used that as a selling point, you know, when you talk to the teams at the Senior Bowl and obviously at your pro day? Are you going to mention that? And, you know, like, I played some running back, I played quarterback. Is that something that you can see yourself?
No doubt. I told every single scout that. I told them I played everything. There's film of me putting, you know, playing every single thing. I played middle linebacker against a triple option offense. You know, it was a fullback, you know, three times my size, pulling guards and everything coming right at me, and I'm just having to find a way, you know. But it was a fun experience just being able to be in all those different positions. But I definitely use that to my advantage and let them know, like, I've done it all and I'm willing to do it all, if, you know, for any team that I'm on.
Of course. Cool, man. Well, I wanted to dive into a little bit. Coming out of high school, you only did have one offer, and that was to Georgia State. You obviously took full advantage of that offer. What was the recruiting process like, you coming out, you know, obviously looking for places to play, and then not necessarily struggling to find places, but you just couldn't get the offers that you wanted, but you had Georgia State. Was that a bit frustrating as well, or did you kind of just embrace that opportunity and ride with it?
I mean, I definitely embraced the, you know, Georgia State, you know, giving me an offer. I mean, I went to other schools. I went to Georgia Southern, Kennesaw State. I went to a satellite camp at UGA, you know, balled at every single one, you know, but, you know, didn't seem to get any offers. You know, people would, you know, DM me over Twitter and everything. And but it just never went further than that, you know, despite all the camps that I went to. But Luke Huer, who's at Sacramento State right now, the offensive coordinator who used to be at Georgia State, he came up to my school, and they pulled me out of class, and he told me that he wanted to see me at the camp. So I was like, yeah, who is Georgia State? I'm not going there. Like, what? So then, you know, I kind of was like, all right, Mr. Huer, it was great meeting you. Then a week later, he called me and said he really wanted to see me, and that was the most interest anybody had ever shown in me, you know, want to see me. So I went, and, you know, right at the end of the camp, they offered me. So, and it wasn't probably like a week or two later after I went to all the other camps that, you know, I decided to just commit to what was in front of me and, you know, give them everything I had, and it turned out well for me.
So you come into Georgia State as a true freshman. You put up insane numbers, 72 catches, 1,109 yards, 8 touchdowns. You were named the Sun Belt Conference Freshman of the Year. What was it like to step on campus and just absolutely dominate the competition at the collegiate level without having any experience? You're not coming in a red shirt in your first year, just coming in so new to the process and just not really skipping a beat from high school to college.
I mean, it was a lot of hard work put into that. It was a lot of people entrusting me to be even in that position. So, you know, I at every single level that I'm at, I expect greatness out of myself, whatever position that I'm put in, to be able to do that. So, you know, Nick Arbuckle, my quarterback that year, you know, keeping me up all day and all night watching film, showing me what he wanted me to do, telling me how he wanted me to run my routes. Robert Davis, early mornings, going up there, working out with him, at, you know, consistently, working with Chandon Sullivan, Jerome Smith on my releases day in, day out through that summer. That prepared me for, you know, the opportunity to be able to go out there and just shine and do what I do and play football. And, you know, I thank Luke Huard and, you know, Trent Miles and Tim Lapano for being able to, you know, believe in me to even allow me to do what I did.
Of course. And then you had your sophomore year, after your dominant freshman year, you're coming out in your sophomore year looking to back that up. And obviously you had an injury that held you back, was not, mm-hmm. you know, obviously didn't go the way you wanted it to. What was it like to kind of go from all the way up here to kind of having to come back down, reset, refocus, and then get back to work after coming back from that injury?
It teaches you that, you know, this game has, it has a time limit on it, you know, and I can say I took the game for granted for a while, just thinking that it's always going to be around and I'll be able to play forever. But that taught me a valuable lesson that that's not the case. And, you know, appreciate the game for what it is and more as time goes on, because one day it's going to end. So I definitely, you know, learned a lot of different things about how to be a leader from on and off the field and on the sideline as well. To, you know, learning how to watch film better, you know, consistently, learning how to do the things that, you know, don't necessarily, like, put you on the field, the things that are not necessarily on the field, but the things that can continue to progress my game to get better. But at the end of the day, it made me a better man. So that's what carried on to, you know, help me be a better football player.
And obviously all that stuff you just mentioned worked, because you come back in your redshirt sophomore year and outdo your freshman year. You catch 74 passes for 1,121 yards, another 8 touchdowns. Just a really great year from you, bounce back year from you. And then you kind of, your offense kind of went through a little bit of a change, and your numbers went down, but your play didn't really go down. And I think that's another thing that people want to bring up is, your numbers didn't look as good, so they assume you didn't play as good, but that wasn't the case to me.
Right.
It was just the offense changed. It went from more of a, you know, passing attack offense to more of a running style offense. But that's where I
right.
saw all your blocking come into play, where you were such an active physical blocker in the running game.
Right.
What do you kind of use? Is that, I mean, I'm sure I described some of it, but is it tough for you to kind of describe that to people that, yeah, the numbers might not say it, but I was just as effective in 2018 as I was in 2017 and 2015?
Well, I'd say to that, I mean, the people who might be saying that are probably the people who haven't watched the film.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think, because honestly, I think this past season, that was the best mm-hmm. I've ever played, you know, regardless of what year it was and regardless of what the statistics say. That was Those were the best routes that I ran. That was the most fundamentally sound I've ever been. That was the best I've ever led my team, even though our record didn't even show that either. You know, it was so many different things that I grew in. I became a better man. I became a better football player. You know, the blocking wasn't always there. That, you know, it forced me to become a better blocker. It really made me a better player all in all. And I think, you know, a lot of people who would probably be saying, oh, well, you know, you weren't playing as good as you were before, then they weren't watching the film. So, it's not too much.
We call them box score scouts in our area.
Right. Really? Yeah, I mean, you know, if that's what they think, I mean, you know, it is what it is. But I think truly watching the film throughout, you know, all those 3 years that I played, they'll definitely say if they really know football and appreciate it and appreciate the player that I am, they'll say that was definitely my best year around.
I would agree with them as well. That was one of my favorite tapes to watch of you, was your 2018 tape, and it was a lot of fun. Like you said, just your routes, it seemed like you even got a little bit more explosive in that year as well, with just the ball in space, you're breaking in and out of routes and stuff like that. It was really fun to watch. You mentioned, we talked about your routes, stuff like that. What's your favorite route to run as a wideout?
Favorite route, I think it was a shake route. You know, you got on your fourth outside step, you're breaking into the post, and then you got three steps coming out to the corner, you know. So I think that was my best route then. It's kind of just a post corner.
Yeah.
But that was my favorite route because, you know, I worked on it so much throughout that offseason with, you know, Rob. He was teaching me how to run it and just being able to be precise in it. But really those double moves, I love those routes because I worked on them so much. And when you work on something so much, you want to put it out there and, you know, see how it feels, see how it works. And it definitely worked for me more than it didn't work for me this season.
You torched a couple of DBs in Mobile with that post corner route. I got a couple of good videos of it throughout the week and we're posting them, and people were loving that because it's a long developing route, and it's kind of hard to get open on because it takes a while for you to get open. But man, you really do sell it well. I'm gonna take that question in a little bit different way. What's the hardest route to run as a wideout?
The hardest route to run.
I would have to think it'd have to be just like a comeback route, right? Just being able to.
That's close. For me, I felt like it was a pivot route. It was 12 yards, and you break inside like you're running a curl, but you have to pivot off of your, you know, your outside foot and come back down towards the sideline. And I don't know why, like, you know, as I began to start playing outside receiver, I was like, man, this is weird, like turning my hips like this, coming back down the sideline, running full speed, coming back down. But I ended up being able to get better at it, but for the time being, that was definitely the hardest route for me.
Okay, cool. All right, a few more questions for you, and I'll let you get out of here, man. You played a lot of special teams at Georgia State. They had you working out at special teams at the Senior Bowl. How important is special teams to you? We talked about the blocking, something that's kind of underrated for receivers, but I think special teams as well is an underrated aspect to a receiver's game. How important do you value the special teams role, whether it's returning, whether it's working as a gunner? Are you going to bring that to the table at the next level?
Most definitely. I think it's extremely important because, you know, a lot of people, regardless of where you're getting drafted at or picked up at, you know, the chances of you coming into a team and being the number one guy getting the ball or making all the plays is extremely slim. So you got to be able to find where you fit in and where you can help the team outside of being able to just be able to do your position. So I think it's extremely critical, and, you know, I take pride in that as well. It was time I told my coaches, I said, I want to be on the punt return team, but not as the returner. Put somebody else back at returner so that I can help block so we can get some more yards on it or we can make something happen on it. But I eventually had to go back to punt returner. But, you know, it's critical. It's extremely critical.
And you had a lot of success in the kick and punt return game in your final year at Georgia State. So that's going to be something I know a lot of teams are going to want you to do, just given your size and your speed and the way you carry the ball in space. That's got to be something that teams are very interested in. All right, so cool. I got a few more questions for you. I've kept you a little longer than I wanted to. For the people listening, who I know everyone listening is probably going to be already familiar with you, but for people who aren't, explain to them what you bring to the table, some of your strengths that you bring to the table at the next level.
Well, I think all of my strengths kind of follow under me just being, you know, a person that's willing myself to greatness. You know, I'm always consistently working, always consistently doing what I have to do to help my teammates, my team, to get where we have to go. And, you know, I take that personally, so I will never take that lightly, to the point to where all of the things that I'm really good at, they fall behind me just wanting to will myself to greatness. So, you know, all of my skills, they fall behind that, and that makes me the person and the player that I am.
Okay, cool. Yeah, of course. And that, you know, I love that, because anyone can say I'm fast, or I'm a good route runner, or I got good hands, but I think that stuff kind of behind the scenes goes a lot deeper and goes a lot further at the next level than people realize.
That's definitely.
What's one player that you model your game after, that you watch a lot of tape of, that you might try to not copy, but you want to go out and try to be like that guy at the next level?
Honestly, it's a lot of people, but the one person, since I was just young, Andrew Hawkins, you know, when he was on the Michael Irvin show, and he went up against Jesse Holly for the final spot on the Cowboys. Like, at that time, I had never seen somebody that size able to play that well and do what they do. Like, you know, honestly, the league isn't made for small people. It's really not. I learned that at the Senior Bowl when I was the shortest person there. But, I mean, you know, having a certain mentality, you know, can change all of that. And looking at Andrew Hawkins, his skill level and how he played and how he held himself, that really motivated me all the way up to the point to where I am now, to be the player that I am today.
I love that, because, again, everyone wants to be Odell Beckham nowadays or Antonio Brown, and I just love the underrated player that people, you know, aren't super familiar with. I love that, you know, not mainstream outlook on it. Great, man. Last question. Get you out of here. I know you're busy. I know you got a lot of work to do. One thing that people listening, myself, what's one thing that we wouldn't know about you that you'll tell us on this podcast that we can find out about you?
I love to eat. You know, I'm an eater. I like to go out and eat and eat and eat.
What's your
every
favorite,
time it's
favorite,
available.
Favorite food.
My favorite thing to eat is wings and desserts. I can kill some ice cream. Like, I feel like I need that in my life. Ice cream is extremely critical, and I got to have some wings. But I'm trying to, you know, step it down a few notches through this training process, try to get, you know, get myself together and do what I do. But I definitely sneak in a few cheat days, go get myself some wings and some ice cream for sure.
We're like the same person, because both of us aren't very big dudes, but we love to eat.
Love to eat. Yeah.
I heard that. All right, man, getting you out of here, last thing I want you to tell us is, why Penny Hart? You got Penny Hart. You got another receiver, tags touching on the board. Why is that team drafting Penny Hart? Tell the listeners why they need Penny Hart on their football team.
Like I said, I'm going to will myself to greatness regardless of what it is. You're not going to see anybody work harder than me, as well as having the mental stability that I do, and as well as performing how I do in all those three categories. You might be faster in some way, but I'm going to be able to, you know, play better this way or that way. So I'm going to be able to will myself to being, you know, the best player that I can possibly be. And I don't compare myself to anybody but myself. So someone who's trying to compare themselves to me, they're missing out, because I'm already looking at the next me that I'm trying to be, and a better me that I'm trying to be the next day and the next second. So, you know, I'm always consistently trying to get better at everything.
Ladies and gentlemen, Penny Hart, Georgia State wide receiver, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Of course. Again, we were on with Penny Hart, Georgia State wideout, a guy who can line up outside. He can line up inside. He's a kick returner. He's a punt returner. He's a really do-it-all kind of guy that's explosive. He has really good hands. He's an extremely good route runner. He really does all the things that you look for a wideout at a high level. One of the biggest combine snubs that I can remember, unfortunately, but his pro day is coming up in March, so he'll still be able to showcase his skills there, talk to these teams, and if you're needing a wideout, if you're needing a guy that can get open and catch the football, he's the guy to keep an eye on. Again, Penny, thank you for coming on. Thank you guys so much for listening. This is Connor Livesey, and we'll see you guys next time.
All right, thank you. I appreciate you.